You can talk to people in heaven who were there at the time. Let that just selah. There are a lot of people say, Jesus didn't die spiritually. Well, if he didn't, you'd have to. He redeemed your spirit, man. That's the redeemed part of you. Jesus didn't. I'm not going to go into that. It's endless arguments. But that's the background. So the Pharisees, they have to get rid of Jesus and the Sanhedrin. They have to get rid of Lazarus because he's the evidence. 4 days, not three, 4 days. This is messianic validation to the hilt. If there was anything that validated Jesus being the Messiah, it's this miracle. It's Lazarus. All right? So in verse 9, we'll start there. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there. He was in Bethany at Lazarus' house with Martha and Mary, Lazarus' sisters. And Bethany was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. So it's really close to Jerusalem. It wasn't far to walk. So a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Now, news travels fast. If somebody had been dead for 4 days, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and the stone moved away, and he came out, he was still wrapped in that linen. He floated out of that tomb. And they said, loose him and let him go. Get rid of those rags of religion and get that stone out of the way, the stone of the law. Oh, one greater than the law is here. You know, if you're condemned by the law and everything, just know that the greater one lives on the inside of you. That's what that means, by the way. So, it says that they might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also because he was the evidence of Jesus' messiahship, of Jesus being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He had a target on his back now because the Pharisees not only had to get rid of Jesus, but now they had to get rid of this because they didn't want anything lying around that would smell like Jesus. They wanted to put him to death. Verse 11 says, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. Oh, they believe in him now. We got to kill him too. The next day, verse 12, a great multitude had come to the feast. This was Passover week. This was the beginning of the Passover week that they're preparing for. When they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. This is what prompted that. The resurrection or the resuscitate of Lazarus from the dead. Beyond anything that had ever been done before. There was a lot of things Jesus did that were beyond any kind of sane explanation. But this was a push back right in the face of the rabbinical writings and the things that they held true. They had a mess on their hands. It was a big political mess for them. Took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna. Now, this hadn't been said since Psalms 118, verse 25. You know what it says? Save now. Now we know who you are. Save now from this Roman oppression. Save now from all of this corruption we see in our Sanhedrin and in the religious system and government that they built for their own benefit and not ours. When God loves all the people. Hosanna. That's what they're saying. The Greek word for save now in Psalm 118, verse 25 says save now. It's word hosha, hosanna. It's a Greek is hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And they knew it. They got their palm branches out. They put their clothes on the ground, their coats on the ground. And he got on that donkey and started riding in. offering himself as their king who would save them now. And Jesus, when he'd found, verse 14, keep reading. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. This is fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. A prophecy concerning your king shall come to you, humble, on a foal of a donkey. Verse 16, and his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that he had done these things, that they had done these things to him. Verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, there were a lot of people. What happened was there were some priests from the temple who were there comforting Martha and Mary. These were well-read people. These people were authentic people. They were witnesses to this resurrection of Lazarus. His disciples did not understand. Okay. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. This is what was spreading throughout Jerusalem. This is the noise that was spread. This has got to be him. This has got to be him. This has got to be him. This has got to. He raised him from the dead 4 days. Within hours, Jerusalem was filled with this miracle. They all knew it. Messianic expectation was absolutely exploding. Jerusalem was becoming a powder keg. This is what's going on here. For this reason, verse 18, for this reason the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you're accomplishing nothing? Look, the whole world has gone after him. You know, one thing I like about the word of God is that God didn't send his word to apologize for his existence. God doesn't apologize to anybody. He's not a beggar. He doesn't look for a way in. You know, you either accept him or you reject him. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. There is no in between with him. He is God. And you either accept him or you reject him. And if you receive him, you receive all of him. And he wants all of you. He didn't come to share you with the devil. He didn't come to share with your flesh. He came to empower you over your flesh. Why is it? Because he has such a better life. My life, when I was playing in rock bands, my life was in torments and I didn't even know it. I thought I had the world by the tail. I had everything I wanted when I wanted it. That's bondage, folks. That is such bondage that you're not submitted to anything. The only way you can have authority is to be submitted to authority. The Roman centurion taught us that. The only authority that you can have is to be under, is to be submitted to God. You will have his authority in the earth. And the Roman centurion had that revelation of authority, and Jesus called it faith. He called it great faith. God's on your side, whether you're in trouble or not. He loves you. I want you to know that today. He loves you. Your salvation doesn't depend on your good works or your bad works. It depends on his works and what he did for you. Oh, be encouraged about that. But he doesn't come to apologize for the truth. He comes to empower you with it. You know, I'm not quite there yet, okay? The Word of God came to take over our lives. Why? Because he's got the keys to life, the keys to joy, the keys to peace, the keys to power, the keys to everything that you could ever need or dream of that you don't even know that you need or that you can't even think of that you need. He's there with the keys, but he wants to be Lord of your life first, to be entrusted with you. He has better plans, better everything. And to the extent we subject ourselves to his word is the extent of that authority that we will experience in our life. It's that simple. Ooh, look at this. all of heaven, all of the universe, and every atom in the universe. It says in him all things consist. That means all things are held together by every atom in this universe is being held together by the word of God, by Jesus himself. And it is still exploding at the speed of light. All of heaven and this physical universe was created and is ruled by the word of God. Everything except this fallen world system in the universe. You say, well, what about the other planets? And is there life in outer space? Well, it really doesn't matter. Because even if there are worlds out there where God created man in his own image, and this is the only one that fall. How do we know that? Because God sent his only son here. We need to give heed to that. We need to be thankful and grateful for the fact that God sent his own son into this world to die for the likes of me. I'm telling you, I can't figure it out. But he doesn't look at us the way we are. He looks at us through the eye of faith, and he sees his ability, his faith, his love working in us to build us into what he created us to be. And to restore to us not just what Adam had, but to go far beyond what Adam had, and to restore us to be like Jesus. It says that the first Adam was earthy, of the earth. The last Adam was a life-giving spirit. You need some life? You can come and get some. It's right here. He serves it up every day. You need some mercy? Come get some. You need some hope? Come get some. It's here. But you got to get it from the Word. You can't get it from anywhere else. It doesn't come from anywhere. Everything else is man-made. It doesn't have life in it. This does. This was God-breathed. God sent his word, and he's not apologizing for it. It doesn't apologize for anything. What he does do is empower you so that no matter what happened, where you are, the mess you got yourself in or the mess somebody else got you in, God has a key to unlock the power of God to kick in those gates in your life and bring power and restoration. Oh, hallelujah. Because when you submit to his word and when you are under his authority, he gives you his authority. And guess what happens? Who's in the driver's seat now? Devil. Has he given you power to tread on serpents? You have a dominating force in your life of the word of truth. It is the dominating force of heaven. It's the dominating force of the universe is the word of God. And if that word abides in you, calm in a storm won't be a problem. Raising the dead won't be a problem. The Lord told me this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He said, you know, it doesn't take too much more, any more faith to raise the dead than it does to sign your name on a piece of paper for the lease of this place and put yourself in hock for forever. And I said, yeah. You know, it's so blatantly right in front of us all the time. But look at this story here. Why is this in the Bible for now? Why is this in the Bible? I'll tell you something. There is so much. I don't want this to be political today, but there is so much correlation between this story and what this nation is experiencing right now. People that have to not only kill off the old president and try to impeach him after he's out of office, as if he deserved that. This was a setup. We know it. But nobody's doing anything about it. You ever notice that? Why is that? They're afraid to. They're afraid to. They're afraid that they'll have barbed wire put around their life in jail. If they talk wrong or speak. You wonder where. Look at the price of gas. I mean, it's just escalated. Why? They had to get rid of the evidence of a man who did more than any other president in the history of the United States, who made the Keystone Pipeline a reality. Canada's going to get rid of that oil. It's either going to be us or it's going to be China. Oh, Hunter Biden? Look, we are living in the soup right now. But they had to get rid of the evidence because it speaks of... I'll tell you, you can get this stuff out of conspiracy theories or whatever. I'll tell you where I got it from. I got it right from the Bible here. And truth doesn't change. And if he is the way, the truth, and the life, the way doesn't change, the truth doesn't change, and the life doesn't change. And his life is in me, and I'm submitted to his authority. Am I apologizing for it? Never! Amen. You know, the preacher's got to get a spine. Ministers got to get a spine and start declaring these things. We see the lie and we're coming against it. We see the deceit and we're coming against it. We see your tactics and we're coming against them with the power of truth, liberating us. It has nothing to do with politics. In fact, politics got this country in the mess it was in. We get a businessman come in, straighten the whole thing out, had the best economy we ever had, the lowest unemployment we ever had, the lowest prices in gas we ever had. Well, and look at it. Look at it. And you can't tell me. Jesus had the adoring crowds. All of these. What did Trump have? I'm not saying Trump is Jesus, but far from that. And in fact, Trump will tell you that too. But look at this. Jesus had these adoring crowds. He had it all together. He had the answers. He knew exactly what to do. Now, he was God's anointed. Well, there's many God's anointed. And this guy was anointed to be president of the United States. And he straightened the whole thing out in the face of onslaughts of accusations, lies, deceit, the media, big tech and everything, silencing everybody and doing it all wrong. And then they hijacked the entire educational system to teach him socialism. You want socialism? Look at Venezuela. God is not a socialistic God. On the day of rewards, it's not going to be everybody gets the same thing. No, sir. It's going to be based on what you have done in your body, the Bible says. So, there it is. Well, what about the early church? They held everything in common. And, you know, we have to be like that. No, you don't. Well, socialism doesn't give you that chance. It doesn't give you the option, the choice. What socialism does, it takes it from you before you can get it, and they give it to whoever doesn't want to work. And after the money disappears, that's when they start nationalizing the banks, nationalizing the investment companies, nationalizing industry. And when it goes broke, they start killing people. That's exactly what happened in Europe. That's exactly what happened in Russia. That's exactly what happened under Hitler, Cuba, well, wherever you go. I mean, wherever there's socialism, it's got a 100% failure rate, but they're teaching it in all of our universities as if it's the answer to everything. Look, I'm not getting this thing. I'm just exalting the truth. This is what the Pharisees were trying to do, and it doesn't change. The lies don't change. The deceit doesn't change. And I love the word of God because it doesn't come to apologize. It comes to establish truth, righteousness, peace, the love of God. Are you saying God hates all those socialists? No, he loves them. He loves them. He died for them. It's not him who is blind to the truth. It's them. He wants to liberate them. He wants to give them a life beyond their expectations. But if they hold on to this promise of power that is so fleeting, because the world is passing away with all the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God, the word of God, will abide forever. So that's why I walk in the truth. That's why I live in the word of God, because I'm going to abide forever. Let's go to that word abide. Abide, abide, abide. Abide. Abide means to stay, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, and to stand. when the whole world goes one way, and we know that the God of this world will have them go his way, we go the other way. And why? Because the Word of God says this, we do that, and we will stand. Amen. We will stay. We will continue. We will dwell. We will endure the storms of life. 1 John, let's skip to there, John. 1 John chapter 2, 17 says this, and the world is passing away. You got to get this down. When the fire hits this thing, it's done. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what is the will of God? The word of God is the will of God. He who does the word of God abides forever. When the storm is over, you're still standing. When the thieves came and robbed and stole, you're still standing. Whatever this earth values as being good, I mean, they're calling good evil and evil good anyways. We're living in that time where if you do good and speak truth, you're a bigot. You're a racist. We have a media that is trying to divide this country every way they possibly can. It's all about race. It's all about radical this and radical that and everything. You know what? There was one uniting voice for 4 years in the White House. And he was uniting everything and everybody. The only divisions that we saw was coming from the media and the big tech that were silencing, twisting his words and everything. If he put a comma in the wrong place, they'd say, see that? He doesn't know English. And they always said, well, he said this. Well, what did he do? What were his accomplishments? I don't know, since Israel ever was, no other president did what he did. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem and declared it the capital. Yes. You know what that forced the Arab countries to do? Because the United States was finally strong again. Mm-hmm. It forced several of the Arab nations to come in new alliances with Israel, never done before. Yeah. A 4,000-year feud between the descendants of Ishmael and Esau against Israel, deep-seated hatred and bitterness. They didn't even know why. They just hated Israel. Mm-hmm. Hated, despised Israel. And just a few maneuvers, all of a sudden, Israel's in alliance with these Arab countries, right, run by Muslims. Right. And they're coming into alliance with Israel. Because of something. No other guy ever did that. It takes a businessman sometimes to just tell you what's what. Now, is this? I really didn't want this to be as political as it is because it's not. But what it is we're revealing truth about leadership and what they do to take advantage and to lie and deceive and to get rid of the evidence and to do everything that they did to Jesus. They're doing now. They built themselves an empire. An empire that was caving in under its own weight simply because Jesus showed up and exposed them. That's exactly what happened 4 years ago. Somebody got up and exposed all the corruption that is in our government. All of it. The corruption. Not just on the left either. It was corruption on the right. They all got to repent. Every last one of them. It's been a cesspool of weakness for too long. Nobody with any fortitude, let's say. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Let's go back to that, John. Matthew 7, verse 24, he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. That rock is Jesus. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and the house didn't fall because it was founded on a rock. When you build your words on what Jesus, when you build your life on Jesus' words and do what he said to do, you can't fall. There's no system of any that can take it down. Why? Because it's founded on the eternal word of God that has absolutely zero power against the eternal word of God. Death doesn't have any power over it. He just showed them. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words, these sayings of mine, and does not do them, does not forgive, lets himself get offended, gives them over to the cares of this life, the lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches, who does not do what Jesus said to do, is a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it was gone. Bluey. You want to build your house on something substantial, build it on the rock of the Word of God. Then you know who to vote for, who not to vote for. You know what to do. You say, who should I marry? Where should I go to school? These are big choices. Well, if you're steeped, if this is steeping in your heart, like that tea that brother gave me this morning, if it's steeping in your heart, you'll know where to go to school. You'll know who to marry. You'll know who not to marry. You'll know what business to start or what job to take or where you should look for friends, how to choose your friends. All of these things in the Word of God, just it doesn't change. And you won't be giving yourself over to manipulative people who have their own agenda, who lie in wait to deceive and to hurt you. The world's passing away and the lust thereof, but he who does the word of God will stand. You will stand when everything else falls. You see the promise here? Do you see the promise in that? You will abide. Do the word of God and you have staying power. You have staying power. You have standing power. We haven't done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Where do you stand? On the word of truth. On the promises of God. Turn with me for a second and to Proverbs. No, it's Psalm 37. Let's go there. I didn't have this one in there, John. Psalm 37. In the New King James Version, verse 3, says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. That's a King James word sentence, but in the New King James it says, dwell in the land and what? Feed on his faithfulness. Boy, I've had to go back to this one several times. Because no matter what, God is faithful. I could make some bad choices right now. God's faithful. And you might say, you know something? Why are you promoting Trump? I'm not promoting Trump. I'm promoting the Word of God. If the Word of God promotes his activity, then that's fine. If Biden make the right choices, I'd be behind him too. But I haven't seen any. I don't like babies being murdered, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb. I don't like to see taxes go up. I don't like to see paying gas now twice as much as it was. I don't like all of those things. It's going nowhere. It's feeding the elite like they did in Jesus' day. These things were corrupted. And Jesus went and turned those tables over twice. Both at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. And he said, you have made my father's house into a den of thieves. And the disciples said, didn't you know you offended them? Who cares? I don't care. What I do care about is the truth. And manifesting the truth. That's what I care about. This country needs to get back to that and care about the truth for once. Politicians. Pooey. They have nothing good to say. Anytime a politician isn't lying is when he's talking about another politician that they're liars. I probably misquoted that. But the only time a politician isn't lying is when he's calling another politician a liar. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on the rock. You've got to know, going on the inside of you and in every fiber of your being, when you do what God's word says to do because it says to do it, that you cannot fail. You cannot fall. Peter said, if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you so you will never fall. Give it to your faith, diligent faith, virtue, and it goes down to love and all of these little attributes. Meditate on those attributes. And if you don't see them in your life, start grooming yourself for that. And start, Lord, I receive right now the seeds of diligence in my life. I receive right now the seeds of virtue right now in my life. Show me where to go, how to build those truths into my life. Show me how to do that. I want to make the right decision. I don't want to be led down a garden path. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. That's going to be our sermon series in June. No, in May, is how to be led by the Spirit. And in next month, it's going to be, Behold, I make all things new. Look, behold, let it enamor you that he makes all things new. Amen. That's going to be our sermon series next month. And it's going to start with the resurrection of Jesus. I make all things new. Is he alive in you today?
Yes.
Is he alive in you today? Do you have some more hope than you had than when you walked in here?
Yes.
Praise God. Yes.